a powerful team of superheroes has swept into the United States and saved the world, or at least saved box office revenues. The movie Avengers: Age of Ultron didn't quite set the dollar record for opening weekends. It came in second place to the previous Avengers installment. Here's a taste as our heroes fall to a bit of bickering.
This could have been avoided if you hadn't played with something you don't understand.
I'm sorry. It is funny. It's a hoot that you don't get why we need this.
Tony, maybe this might not be the time.
Really? That's it. You just roll over, show your belly every time somebody snarls.
Only when I've created a murder bot.
We didn't. We weren't even close. Were we close to an interface?
Well, you did something right. And you did it right here. The Avengers were supposed to be different than S.H.I.E.L.D.
Anybody remember when I carried a nuke through a wormhole?
No, it's never come up.
Save New York?
Never heard that.
Recall that?
Bunch of bickering superheroes there. Thor, Iron Man, lots more. If you throw in other movies besides the Avengers franchise, looking at Superman, Batman, it seems like the comics world has effectively colonized our blockbuster movies. The question, what is it about comic superheroes that makes them superstars of the big screen? Amanda Berry joins us now. She's assistant professor in the Department of Literature at American University. She taught a class on narrative and the comic book. Amanda, thanks for joining us.
Hi, Veronica. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good.
Well, superhero movies carry a built-in fan base. People have read the comic books. They know the characters. How big a factor is that, that they have these built-in fans?
I think it's a pretty big factor. I also think that it's the intensity of that fan base that has a lot to do with it, too. Not merely that there are so many fans, but that comic books and superheroes have a long history of being very involved with fan response. And so, you know, I think you have a group of fans who are intensely engaged in being fans. I think that's one thing. I also think, I mean, a lot of people come to these films who aren't familiar with the comic books, too.
What about the content of the stories themselves? Is there something from a narrative perspective that comic books are just doing right or doing better than other places?
Well, I don't know if in terms of sort of overall narrative structure they're doing things better, but I do think the idea of the figure, of the superhero is a very compelling one, especially in a moment when there are so many problems in the world. I think the superhero as a figure is often portrayed as a, if you will, a normal person who has special abilities and kind of exceeds that normalness. And I think in a viewer, it calls out to a viewer's sense of his or her own potential to do something great. This could be me, except I might also be able to do something extraordinary. I think it's really the figure of the superhero rather than the plot of these movies that are, as everyone knows, pretty predictable. Good will defeat evil.
I mean, you said part of the appeal is that we think the superhero could be me, but that's not true for half of the population because it seems like in most cases the superheroes are guys. How come that doesn't have any boomerang effect?
It's really true, and it's interesting. I don't know if you heard recently about a memo that was leaked at the Marvel headquarters in which one of the officers of the company, and in fact it may have been the CEO, had an email he wrote about why women couldn't be superheroes, which was disappointing. I think it's a sort of age-old concept in representation, which is that, you know, men or male figures are supposed to be or suggested to represent, you know, people, right? All people. And you know, a lot of women viewers, I think, including myself, you know, you can sort of identify across gender that way. This is an extraordinary person, and without necessarily thinking about it as a phenomenon of gender, although that's certainly not true, and you're right. Superheroes are very much about masculinity and about kind of an ideal of masculinity that no human being and no man can ever achieve, except that normal man might someday be able to do that or may have the potential for that.
Do you think that the success of all of these superhero movies tells us anything about, you know, the time in which we live, that people really just want to escape. And maybe they are looking for someone bigger than life to scoop in and fly them out of here.
You know, I think, I mean, as an academic, I'm never much fun when somebody asks this question. I don't really believe in escapism. And what I mean by that is, I certainly know we have various kinds of forms of entertainment that we seek out for pleasure. And that's, of course, an important thing to do. But I think that, you know, in the field of cultural studies, including the study of popular culture, like television and film, you know, we understand that no matter how we think about a representation, even if we go to a film or or watch a television show and think, you know, well, this is just for fun, cultural messages are being transmitted there. And in fact, I think when we're having a good time, we may actually be thinking more than when we are when we're forced to study something in another kind of context. So I wouldn't say escapism. What I would say is I think it's less about wanting to be a fantasy of being rescued than a fantasy of being able to solve problems that you know, I may have the potential to, at least in this film, identify with a character who can solve the kinds of problems that actually exist in the world that flummox and depress me and I can't solve, but I wish I could.
Amanda, thanks a lot for talking today.
It's my pleasure.
That was Amanda Berry, assistant professor in the Department of Literature at American University. She's taught a class on narrative and the comic book.